Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Well, I want to say hi if you're new to our church today and you're joining with us for our Easter service. Maybe you've been for a few weeks just checking out our services online, or maybe a family or a friend invited you to join with us for Easter today. Hey, we just want to say you're so welcome today, and we're just so glad that you could join us with us as we celebrate Easter. And I was thinking a little bit about Easter and a little bit about my background as well with Easter and church, and thinking about even today as we do this online church service, how different this experience is from maybe the experience that I had growing up. I grew up in a traditional church environment, and I think as part of that, I got to have a very different perspective than even what I have today, really, about what the Christian faith is all about. You see, growing up, I always thought that really Christianity was really about me being a bad person, and that if I would just try harder to be good, then that was the goal of Christianity. And so I always thought about that the Christian faith was really all about making a bad person into a good person. But the message of Easter, and certainly the message of the resurrection of Jesus, is far, far different from that. You see, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people alive. And Jesus wants to take every part of my life that feels dead, and he wants to breathe life into it. Because Jesus has come ultimately to make our lives so much more than they could be just on our own. He comes and he makes our life better. He makes our connection with God better. He makes our relationships with family and friends so much better. He makes our mental health and our emotional health so much better. And he fills our life with purpose and meaning and significance. And that's the message of Easter. The message that we celebrate today on Resurrection Sunday is Jesus wants to take every place in me that feels like it's dead, and he wants to breathe life into it again. And I was thinking, just as I was preparing this message this week, about a funeral I went to last year. In fact, it was a funeral that I was officiating at, and it was for one of the members of our church. His name was Hugh, and I got to know Hugh quite well in the last year of his life. I actually got to really dearly love Hugh, and I loved the time I got to spend with him as well. But I remember at his funeral, and we were there and hearing the eulogies that were coming for Hugh. And they were all of these eulogies that spoke of, you know, his devout and just incredible faith that he had in God through over 60 years of his life. And people spoke about how that faith then impacted them through the love he had for his family, and the love he had for his friends, and the love he had for his church. And even though that it was a funeral, and like all funerals, it was an occasion for grief and for mourning, it was also an occasion for joy as well. And the reason that it was an occasion for joy was this, was that we all knew at that moment that Hugh was more alive then than he'd ever been before, as he was in the presence of Jesus. And it's that resurrection life that Jesus brings to us, that he actually makes us spiritually alive to God for all eternity. In Romans 8 verse 11, it says, "The Spirit of God, which is the power of God, who raised Jesus up from the dead, back to life, now lives in you." And that power was never supposed to be just a holiday where we say, well, that's amazing, Jesus. It's so awesome that you did that. No, the Bible says here that same power now lives in you. Or in other words, that same power is now available in you. In Romans 8 verse 11, it says, "And just as," or in the same way as, "God raised Jesus from the dead, he will." I love those words. Not just that God can, but that God will. "He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." You know, it says here that Jesus comes, and what he does is to bring life to our mortal bodies, to everything in our life that's mortal. Jesus wants to bring life to it. That's our mortal mind and our mortal bodies and our mortal emotions and our mortal relationships and our dreams. And the resurrection that Jesus is offering you is the power today that he wants to bring into your life, to take you and I into the life that he has for us. And so in this service today, I just have one goal. I just have one mission, and that's that you would believe in the resurrection power that can come alive on the inside of you today. You know, the author, C.S. Lewis, when he was speaking of the resurrection and speaking of Easter, said this. He said, Easter is like death working itself backwards. That instead of us going from life to eventually death, he says, what Easter shows us is that we can go from whatever is dead and Jesus can bring it back to life. And you might be asking, well, how does that happen? And how do you and I get to experience that kind of life working in us? Well, I found that many people think that, well, it must mean that I'll probably have to just try harder. Or it must mean that if I just become a better person, then maybe I can experience that. But the good news of the gospel is it's not about doing, it's about believing. And I want to show you this from out of two people in the Bible. You know, the Apostle Paul, this says these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, we think that you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and we were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. You know, the Apostle Paul, he's talking about the pressures of life. He's talking about the troubles that they had experienced and faced. And he said, actually, it was so intense. We just felt crushed by it. It was so full on. We actually felt overwhelmed within us. And then he says this, and we thought we would not even live through it. In fact, we expected to die. So Paul said it felt so intense that he said, I thought it was all over for us. I thought that it was completely finished. But check out what Paul says, because something good happened in that moment. He says these words, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. I love those words. He said this, we stopped trusting in ourselves. We stopped depending on our own abilities and our efforts. And he said, and we learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. In other words, Paul was saying, we learned how in the most difficult, the most challenging season of life, he said, we learned how to rely on God. We learned how to put our faith in the God who has gotten back up from out of the grave. We learned how to put our confidence in a God who raises the dead. And do you know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, if my God conquered death, then I know that there's nothing in life that I cannot conquer. Paul was saying this. He's saying the worst season in my life actually turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, because I learned not to rely on myself. I learned not to rely on my own abilities and my own experience and my own wisdom. It became the best thing that ever happened to me because I learned how to rely and trust only on God and on His resurrection power that actually went to work in me in my darkest hour. And the Word of God is telling you and I something so powerful here, that the way through pressure and the way through trials and the way through hardship and the way through darkness is to simply put our trust and our confidence in God, to believe in Him. You know, Abraham had the same experience. In the Bible, Abraham is called the father of faith. But you know what about something I've noticed about Abraham when you read his story? Abraham did not have it all together. He didn't have the answers. He didn't have all the knowledge. He didn't even know how God was going to work out the things that He had promised him. But what Abraham had was that Abraham believed. And what did Abraham believe? Well, it tells us in Romans, it says, Abraham, he believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Abraham put his trust and belief in the God who has resurrection power available to all of us who believe. And so what do you and I have to do? Or what do you and I have to keep in mind if we're going to see the life of God go to work in us? Well, the answer is very simple. It's to believe. It's to believe in God. And I want to look at just one more story here today as we see how believing brings things to life. Do you know, believing can bring things to life in our world. And it's the story of Lazarus. And in the book of John, it says this about Lazarus. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, which is the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This is the Mary whose brother Lazarus, who now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus. So two sisters, Mary and Martha, their brother is very sick. And so they basically would have got a courier and said, send this message, go and find Jesus and go and tell him that Lazarus is now sick. But listen to what happens. Something very powerful in this line that I believe if you see it, it's going to help you. This is what they said was to be written on this message or given on this message. And it says, tell Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick. Notice it doesn't say, tell Jesus, say, hey, Jesus, Lord, the one who loves you is sick. It wasn't about, Lord, the one that prays the most, or it wasn't about the one who reads the Bible the most. It wasn't about the one who really loves you, Jesus, and that's why that you should come and help him. No, they said, Lord, it's the one that you love. He's sick. And here's why that's so important, because I want to tell you today, God is not motivated to help you because of your love for him, but on his love for you. And he's already motivated. Whether you love him or not, he's already motivated, and it's based on his love for you. Then it says in verse 4, it says, when he heard about this, this is Jesus, when he got that message, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. Which is interesting, because if you know the story, Lazarus dies. But notice what Jesus says. He says, yeah, but it won't end this way. Jesus was saying this. He says, Lazarus, he's going to go through something and it's going to look like it's all over. It's going to look like it's finished. But I'm telling you today, it's not going to end the way that you think. And he says, no, it is for God's glory so that God's son may be glorified through it. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to do something that's far bigger than even what you're asking. And then it says in verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I find that an interesting detail that would be included in this story. It's really just saying Jesus really loved these three. Like Jesus really loved them. Why would the Bible emphasize Jesus' love and devotion to these three? I think the answer is because the next verse, it's going to look a whole lot like he didn't really love them at all. Because in verse 6, it says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. I want to ask you, have you ever felt like God was taking a long time to respond? Like, have you ever asked God, what's going on here? God, where are you right now? God, why is there a delay that's happening right now in my life and in this circumstance? But here's the deal right here. What we can't see and what Mary and Martha couldn't see right then was God's bigger plan that he always has in play in our life. You see, God's always working at unfolding a plan in our life. And I tell you something about God's plan. It's always far bigger than you and I could see or conceive or even possibly imagine. And it says in verse 11, it says, and he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus, he has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. And his disciples replied, says, Lord, well, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better. And then in verse 13, it says, Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So here we have Jesus and his disciples, and they are seeing things two different ways in this moment. And here's what I've come to learn. Our ways and God's ways are never the same. The Bible says about God's ways and God's thoughts. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than yours, your ways. But here's what I've discovered. God is always working for us, but we may not be able to see in the moment clearly what God is doing. I've found this about the will of God. The will of God is always clear when you're looking backwards. But when we're in the moment, sometimes we struggle to see it. And in verse 16, it says these words. It says, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Man, you got to love Thomas, don't you? Thomas is like, well, boys, why don't we just all go? And we may as well all die as well. It's kind of like, thanks, Thomas. Really appreciate your encouragement right there. That's awesome. But you know what Thomas represents? Thomas represents the doubters. Thomas represents all the negative Nancys that are in our life. And I found this, there'll always be people somewhere in your world who'll always be doubting the future. They'll be doubting God. There'll be a voice of negativity about what's going to happen in the future. And they go to fear. and they're always seeking to find the darkest possible outcome to what's happening in your world. But here's what I've discovered. You've got to limit the access that negative and doubting voices have in your life. Instead, surround yourself with friends, friends who will encourage you, friends who will speak faith into your life, and friends who will believe God with you. And in verse 17, it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. How many of you know that's not just dead? That's very dead right there. And it says, now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to the funeral to comfort them in the loss of their brother. It says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, it says she went out. Another translation said she ran out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered and said, yeah, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection, right at the last day. What Martha was saying, yeah, I know you mean someday, don't you, Jesus? You mean someday when that big resurrection happens, then that's when he'll come back to life. But Jesus is about to tell her, Martha, not someday, it can happen today. And here in this story, the next line is so pivotal. Because the next line that Jesus speaks, it completely redefines what Easter is all about. You see, the next line that Jesus tells us is that resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is not a holiday. That actually resurrection is a person and his name is Jesus. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Jesus was saying the resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is a person and you're looking at him. And then we see that same word again. And it's to show us really all that God requires of us. And Jesus says this. He says, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. You see, God's not asking us here to do more. He's not asking us to know more. He's not even asking us to try harder. What Jesus is asking us is this. He's saying, will you believe in me? Will you believe in my words? And maybe there's some of you that even today on Easter that maybe you feel like you've given up on believing. That maybe you once had faith. But then you know what? Life came along and stuff happened. And somewhere along the way, you just stopped believing. And it's hard sometimes to believe. It's hard sometimes to believe when life is dark and when times are difficult and maybe even when disappointment enters into our life. Sometimes it's hard to believe, but in this story, Martha was wrestling with all of those same emotions in that moment. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am the life and everything can change Martha today because I'm here. And then Jesus asked Martha, I believe, the most important question of all. The question that I believe not only demanded a response from Martha, but I believe it's a question that demands a response from you and I. He says to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this?
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.